Wright Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Good evening. Welcome. My name is Vinnie White. It's a radio show on the radio, as most radio shows are. This one, though, is better than most. I pushed it a bit too much already. This one is probably as good as most radio shows on reasonable radio stations. You've got to keep expectations low in every sense. That's why I always tell women I've got a one-inch penis. It's actually two. If you want to get involved in the show, 416 872 1010, and you can text the show on 71010. You can also talk star talk. Someone's written that down wrong. But then, in fairness, it's not really the writer's fault. It's more the reader, in the fact that I shouldn't have to read this off a screen anyway, because I've been doing this for ages. Star Talk 8255. You can also phone toll-free if times are hard on 1-866-518-5151. But nowadays, most people have got cell phones, haven't they? I think I'm not being too socially elitist to mention that. And I think we've mostly got plans, albeit somewhat more expensive than America. So you can phone on your cell phone and use your minutes on 416-872-1010. There's a lot of options. Some of them are a bit boring, to be honest. You can also do Twitter, Vinnie White. You can also do Facebook, Vinnie White. And I'm sure there's other ways, but, you know, let's not use the entire show telling you the methods of communication in a modern era. Good evening. It's on till 10. That's all you need to know. The stuff coming up, I'm not entirely sure what we're going to get to, but I can tell you for sure we're going to talk about the Book of Mormon, because I saw it today. And two arguments that I've had this week. And are they my fault? Probably. Just let things go. Don't worry about it. But I didn't. Got in quite a good argument at the LCBO. So I want to tell you about that. If you are an anger counsellor and you can bring me down off my perch, then please call in on 416 872 1010 and give me free help and therapy on how to not get angry in LCBOs. It's hard, though, when you're in a 20-minute lineup. 20 minutes! All right. First, let's start on a rather somber note. We'll make it brief, but it seems unfair to not mention it. First of all, I think I can safely say that we are all in unanimous harmony that the murder of Corporal Cirillo this week was cowardly and disgusting. And I'm very proud to be a new Canadian, and I'm very proud to see flags flying at half-mast in his memory. Terrorism, though? A man with no known links to any organisation that bumbled his pathetic attempt at a campaign of violence with a history of mental illness and drug addiction. I don't know if it's fair to use the word terrorism, but if you've been reading the American press, ho-ho, it was terrorism. Did you see the difference this week? If you were astute enough to avoid the American press, well done. I always have a look. It's like it's rubbernecking, really. The American press. I don't want to read it because I won't get the facts that I've already got from the Canadian and British press, but I want to read it just to see just how sensationalised it is. And this week was just a classic example of that. CNN's headline, Terrified Capital! CBC led with soldier dies after Parliament Hill attack, gunman also shot dead. Facts distributed as a headline. Something I would say is slightly more responsible. But the American news, panic! And then, of course, everyone started panicking online. Online is not a reflection of the real world. And if it is, then I'm going to end it, because there are some nutters there. But, fear just spread across online like there was no one's business. Like only American journalists were writing on Facebook. What's going to happen next? The world will never be the same. Listen, it was tragic. And I do want you to be very clear that I do think it was tragic. But fear, 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 be scared? No. Just carry on with your life as before, knowing that there are a-holes everywhere. And actually, as terror attacks go, if this is insisting on being labelled as one, this one, despite it being tragic, and it was tragic, wasn't too bad compared to Madrid, New York City, Mumbai. Oh, I don't know. We could go on forever. Norway, London. There's so many. I've always loved this country for its cool-headedness, and I was actually extremely stoked and proud to be a new Canadian this week when I saw the calm and cool response. And I hope that carries on into what could very easily be... Right, let's change everything. Let's make a sort of Guantanamo light, yeah? Let's do that, because we can do that now. What's that? You want a trial? Forget it. Let's not do that. Yeah, let's not go all Bush, Harper. Let's go Brazilian. We don't need Bush. You know what I'm saying? I just thought of that. That's why it wasn't that good. But yeah, it was an incredibly depressing week. But please, please, if I have any weight on anything at all, and I'm, albeit pathetic that it is, can I just put my bit in and say, keep it real. Just remember that if we actually look at the facts of this, we've got, what, zero? I think it's 0.00025 of the Canadian population that are on the CSIS watch list. That means there's more active serial killers statistically. So, yeah, there's a-holes. There's always been them. Okay, so yeah, there's people joining ISIS or ISIL or Icing Sugar, but let's not make it unreasonably scary, and keep it in context. 416-872-1010. Your thoughts on that? And actually, I will take a couple of calls if I can find the phone. Actually, I can't find the phone, so can you put him through? Mohammed, your thoughts? And you want to call Mohammed, so obviously you're a terrorist. Mohammed?
Hey, Vinny.
Hello, mate. I hope you missed that little dig, or I hope you took it the right way at any rate.
I honestly, I went on working. I was listening to another local station. They had a reporter at 11:45. So he says, confirmed reports up to 5 shooters in the house. This is Sun TV reporter.
In the house, sorry? In the House of Parliament?
In a parliament, yeah.
And they said that was confirmed?
Confirmed reports up to 5 shooters.
I love that. Even that's a contradiction in terms. Confirmed up to 5.
Yeah. Sounds like passive.
Yeah, thanks a lot. All right, cheers,
thanks,
mate.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, confirmed up to 5. You know? And as for the reactionary idiots that go and deface mosques, come on. What is wrong with you? Talk about lack of education. It was weird this week, though, because I used to live in Ottawa for 6 years. I have a pretty good understanding of that whole area. In fact, my radio studio that I used to work for was on lockdown. So I was texting friends. And it's good to know that despite the absolute horror of the day, even in their hour of insanity, a lot of my friends had a good sense of humour. I said to one guy, are you okay? Is everything all right there? Knowing fully well that he was in a government building that was on lockdown. Rob, my friend, said, I'm on lockdown in Ottawa. We've been told to stay away from windows. Well, yes, Vista was crap, but 7 is okay. Not bad. Not bad. And then I got this one from my friend Lauren. I said, are you okay? And she said, yes, as you probably know, we're all on lockdown. I've been told to lie on the floor in the dark while they confirm if there is another shooter. It's petrifying, but not as bad as one of your morning farts. Nice line, nice line. Didn't have to attack me, but you know what? I'll take it.
This is the Vinny White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
I saw Book of Mormon today. It's brilliant. It's really good. You've got to go. It is fantastic. Incredibly unpolitically correct on absolutely every possible level, but just wonderful. And I would advise it thoroughly. If you get the chance, $100 well spent. I'd tell you more about it, but there's no point. Don't want to give it away. If you're a Mormon, don't go. Do not go if you're a Mormon. Although, you know, one of the most amazing things, I didn't know this, when I got the programme for the Book of Mormon, which, in case you don't know, is a deeply satirical look at the spread of rampant organised religion, particularly focusing on some of the questionable injustices that the Mormon Church have been doing, including spreading their religion, but not necessarily care, through Uganda in Africa. That's what it's all about, and it's a very sort of fun, edgy, slightly outspoken look from the creators of South Park. So, yeah, well worth a look in. But I wouldn't go if you're deeply religious. It's just not for you. But inside the programme, the Book of Mormon are advertising, the actual Book of Mormon, as in Mormons, are spending money on advertising inside, and which I think fair play. You know, one of your the first thing on your doctrine is to spread the word of Mormon, which, by the way, if ever you've looked into the story of Mormon, I mean, let's be honest, most religions are rather somewhat peculiar beginning. This one, woo! It makes Scientology look kind of, that seems perfectly reasonable and rational. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, they've advertised inside the programme. So how weird is that? The Book of Mormon, the Mormon Church, headquartered in Utah, is spending money on a programme that's given out at direct targeted satire on the Mormon Church. So I don't know what to make of that. But there you go. So if you get the chance to see it, see it. Also this week, we are still doing the campaigning. Oh, it's still going here in Toronto. If you haven't got your early votes in, then, of course, you can vote this week. And it'll all be over this time next week. Halloween. And everything will be over. And I'm not here next week. So I believe this is the last time we're going to talk about the candidates. But it's been very interesting. I think it's all right. Can I endorse people? Is it right to do that? All the newspapers have. I endorse Ford. Sorry. I was only kidding. Just thought it'd be a laugh. Did feel a little bit of bile came up when I said it, but I think it'll go away. Can you get me some of those settlers' tums? You know the ones? Keep it down. Because I think a little bit of sick came up. I want the man that's Tory, to be honest. I think it's a reasonable thing to do. And if anything, just because he's a bit of a laugh, you know. Because you say what you want about the other candidates, not that funny. And I think, you know, that's what we should be voting on. Comedy. That's what we did in London. Have you seen Boris Johnson? Idiot. But funny. but it was interesting seeing how they were responding this weekend to the question, how are you feeling towards the end of your campaigns? And don't forget, it's quite tiring to listen to this on a regular basis. Can you imagine what it's like to run and say the same thing over and over again? It's like, you know, when U2 put the microphone out to the crowd and you know that you think, oh, they're doing it because they're getting the atmosphere going. No, they're doing it because they've sung that track a million times. And there's only so many times you can do the streets have no name before you get bored. You can't do that if you're doing a campaign. You can't just go up and go, well, I'd like to talk about saving taxes and getting transit on the road, but can't be bothered. Can you just sort of say what I said yesterday? So they've been talking about how tired they are, and I would say Chow sounds still a spring in the step. Let's hear Chow when asked, how are you feeling towards the end of your campaign?
You know, I met some kids at a daycare when the race started. And I'm pretty sure that they're in high school, graduated by now.
Not bad, not bad. You know, you're not going to win an award, but that's a start. When asked, how are you feeling towards the end of your campaign, Tory said,
I could go for a couple of more weeks, but I'm not going to threaten anybody with that.
See, I like that because a bit of self-deprecation and a sort of Energizer Bunny vibe. I like that. Meanwhile, Ford said,
My wife and girls, I haven't been able to see them for the last little while, but I look forward to spending time with the family.
Oh, which is handy, because he can use that clip, can't he, when he loses. You just play the last bit. What are you going to do now you've lost?
I look forward to spending time with the family.
See what I mean? It's already written. So, well, it's a bonus because he's already tired and you can tell that from his voice. So now he can just rerun that. Can I say, despite my arrogance and, you know, not all English guys are evil, unlike the films promote, I do actually have a heart that's just got a bit more motion and fluid pumping through it than Margaret Thatcher. But when Ford speaks there, I actually feel sorry for him. Do it again, Elliot, the Ford one. How you feeling?
I look forward to spending time with the family.
So that's my first visceral reaction, is to think, oh, poor guy. He hasn't spent a lot of time. You decided to run! It's you! You did this! You don't have to! I think he was reluctant to step in. I felt like he was quite keen at first, but it's not looking quite that way now. So there you go. Ford also released the list of 738 donors. But like frontrunner John Tory, it only listed donor names that with not actual amounts that they gave. Ford said the donors contributed about $300,000, I think, but but he told reporters that his Etobicoke headquarters $800,000 by election day. You might as well round it up to $1 billion. That's what you do with most figures. How much? $1 billion. Well, I don't know. Any evidence? Loads. Just come round. Phone me. I'll give it to you. Can you give it to me now? Oh, there's a badger.
You're tuned in to the Vinnie White Show on MDEP Radio, News Talk 1010.
What are we talking about? What are we doing now? All right. an argument this week in the LCBO. I don't know what's wrong with me. I should just accept the fact that LCBOs exist. But because I didn't grow up with them, and I come here, and this is probably why you hate us immigrants, I'm used to it my way. I'm not used to LCBOs. I've come from a part of the world that's got many problems and some idiotic leaders. But I would be very happy to say that if you want to leave the house at this time, what are we now, 9:30, because you run out of wine, you're having a dinner party in the UK, you can. And you know where you can go? The convenience store. And you can buy a bottle of wine. And if you look 18, they'll let you have it. And you might get ID'd. And 18 is the limit. And you can buy it all night. And you know what? It's fine. No one's getting hurt. Life's just going on pretty normally, really. There was a lot of people that said, no, you can't put it all over the place and you can't let it access to 24-hour drinking when they changed the licensing laws in the UK some years ago. And the stats have proven beyond any shadow of doubt that despite the fact people are drinking more than ever, which is arguably not a good thing, there doesn't appear to be any correlation with the extended licensing hours. And actually, safety to the community has been completely eradicated in the sense that people aren't desperately going out to get drunk before the pub closes and or going to the local store to get wine while they can and then drinking it in massive consumption. So I'm a big advocate of just letting people do what they want, as long as there's education there and you say, look, don't drink heavily, don't drink when you're pregnant, and all those things that civilised nations do, then stick it in the convenience store. And that's the way I think every time I'm in the LCBO. So I'm always more annoyed than most people when I have to walk there, and it's miles from my house, which is weird because I live like King West, so I don't even know how that's possible. But I have to go quite a long way to get there. And then when I do get there, I have to line up for about 25 minutes in this case, because I didn't know if you go at 8:30 on a Friday, forget it. You are going to be stuck. And by the way, the two people that you're sandwiched next to in the lineup, it's Russian roulette, lads. It really is. I had a perfectly fine, upstanding gentleman probably getting wine for a dinner party in front and a raving alcoholic behind. And guess which one I got talking to? Say what you want about alcoholics. They love a chat. They really do. So that was the most painful 25 minutes in quite some time. And then I got to the front of the line and the guy said, have you got any ID? I'm knocking on 40's door and I don't find it flattering like I probably should. It's ridiculous. And Noah didn't have any ID. And so he let me off anyway, so which kind of undermines the whole point in asking for ID. But never mind. Now I'm going to get my booze. I'm going to get out of there. I'm late. I've got to cook a meal for people. I'm a terrible cook. And now it's probably going to be later than ever. But never mind. I've got my wine. And he says, what's your postcode? And I say, why? And he says, because we're doing research onto where to build the next LCBO. So if we find out where you live and we haven't got an LCBO. I said, you haven't got one there. But you haven't got one in plenty of places in the downtown core. Not as close as the 7 convenience stores that I walked past to get here. Making quite a clear point that you as an intelligent person can understand. He didn't understand it. And he went, but I'm going to need it. Otherwise, I don't know what to put down here. And I'm like, why is that my problem? How is that my problem that you've got a box to fill in? So I said, I'm not going to give it to you. And he said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll put you down as foreign and not living here. And that annoyed me because I do live here and I pay quite high taxes and I've put a lot of effort into spending, $15,000 of my own money to become a citizen of this country. And I've battled and I run 3 businesses and, you know, without going on a massive tirade, I give quite a lot. Admittedly, this show's terrible, but I give quite a lot to the Canadian public. So I said, listen, man, bearing in mind there's like 25 minutes of people lined up, the queue's so long behind me and they're so pissed off, eh? So I shouldn't be having this chat and I feel guilty for having it, but I don't feel like I should have to give you my postcode or fall into the box where I'm a foreigner that doesn't live here. So I said, if you want to know where to build the next LCBO, just build it in every convenience store like every civilised country in the world. And he's obviously heard this a lot. I didn't know this. So if you work for this year at LCBO, here's me thinking, God, I'm so evocative and so outspoken. Canadians would never say this. Straight into a pitch. And he's done it a million times. Well, sir, I could advise you to speak to your local MP on this matter. You know, it was so scripted. You know when people's eyes glaze over? You know, when you're having an argument with a parking attendant and they're not there. Their persona is there. That guy, he'd gone. He was in the back of his head. Probably thinking about his shopping list and what an arsehole I was. And I was thinking, right, I'm going to prove a point. Now, the thing is, I got some camaraderie in the lineup. Well, the alcoholic was all over it. He was like, yeah, man! Not the best advocate to jump on my side. Do you know what I mean? When you see all these people running from air, they don't get... Can you just stand there, smell of booze, and shout everything I say back at me in a slightly louder voice with a mild air of violence? It doesn't work. But there was loads of other people in the lineup that were like, yeah! And I feel like I started a mini revolution. And then I went home. So what I'm saying is that I'm starting a revolution and LCBO should be eradicated pretty soon, thanks to me. There's no fact there whatsoever, but I like to think so.
This is the Vinny White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Halloween ads are coming. Halloween is coming. Your chance to look like a prostitute with lots of different looks attached. Everything's sluttier than ever, isn't it? Did you go out last year? It blew my mind. It's a pervert's paradise. It's cold and there's lots of people walking around with nothing on. And they all look like prostitutes. And you go up to them and say, what are you? And they're like, oh, I'm a teapot. I've never seen a teapot that attractive. And or risque. I even saw last year, there was a... Because there's the prefix slutty. Some of them are a bit questionable. Slutty Elmo. Is that right? I'm not sure about that. There was a slutty Elmo. Loads of, like, slutty nurses and stuff. This is not my verbiage, by the way. This is the people that I met at a Halloween party were quite happy to say, I am a slutty, whatever it may be. I think one of the weirdest ones was a slutty gorilla. I don't know how that can be. And the worst thing is, she was quite attractive and she looked quite sexy, but still had the look of mild gorilla-esque. And I thought, I'm pretty sure, you know when you walk, you know... am I going to say this? I can't believe I'm going to say this. Oh, okay, I've come this far. I've let everything else out, haven't I? All right. You know when you walk past a shop window and you look at a mannequin and think, oh, she's all right. Oh, my God, I looked at a mannequin. Just me? It is just me. Please text in if you've done that. That's how I felt about a slutty gorilla. I was like, oh, she's good looking. Hang on, is she a gorilla? Please, can you text in on 71010 if you've ever, just for a millisecond, looked at a mannequin in a shop window and thought, whoa, is it just me? And if it is, can you make me feel better by saying that it's you too? I'm asking you to lie. 71010, text in. Have you fancied a mannequin? It's not that bad. Some people do it with dolls. It can't be that bad. There's real dolls out there. There's people that spend money on them. And they have to get their... How can I put this in a reasonably tasteful way? Probably too late already. They have to get their bits replaced. Yes! So, yeah. Think I'm wrong. They're wronger. First text. Yes, I look at mannequins too. Thank you very much. I love it. I just got like 5 texts. You're not alone. I like mannequins. I didn't say that. I just said I looked at them briefly. I don't like them. Mannequins rock. You don't spell mannequin like that, but since you've confessed, it's okay. Right. What's going on in the United Kingdom? Stuff, you know. I think there's another royal baby. Who cares? There's some... I think it's a bit grey. Normally is. People have got bad teeth. I'm allowed to. And all that kind of stuff. What else? Well, UKIP. What is it? Well, it's an abbreviation. UKIP. All right. I'm glad I broke that down for you. Now, they're all across Europe at the moment. There's... a very independent far right that's reaching out. So in this case, UKIP, the United Kingdom Independence Party, wants to be away from the European Union. And I kind of get it. So kind of being the operative word at the moment. Because in recent years, we've become more and more entrenched in Brussels. All right, Brussels, the head of the European Union. And we, as a country, I say we, obviously I live here, but let's just put my British hat on and my yellow teeth. And we have been sort of moving closer to Europe in the sense that we have to, yeah? So we're not in the EU. Sorry, we are in the EU, but we're not in Euro. But we have to do so many things. So, for example, it's all started some time ago when the EU said, you can't weigh your bananas in pounds, you have to do it in kilograms. And we went, but we've always done it in pounds, and we're going to carry on with that. And they said, no, you have to use grams and kilograms, and if you own a shop and you sell bananas and you've got them in pounds, you'll be prosecuted. And people said, but it's my banana shop, and I can sell bananas in any way I want. I can sell them in tons if I want. It's a lot of bananas. And so there was a bit of an upcry in the sort of tabloid, what we call the red tops, the tabloid press, said, being told what to do by Brussels. So that's what started a somewhat mild backlash against the European Union. And the more money they ask for, and you know, arguably some of that money doesn't come back to the United Kingdom. And if you were, if you live in Germany, you must be like, what? Why am I giving absolutely all of my money to a big pot that then goes to be spent on, for example, bailing out banks in Greece and fixing roads in Ireland? You know, it doesn't seem fair. And so there's been a sort of move away from the right, sorry, move towards the right across Europe. And the UK is just, the you know, the UKIP is the United Kingdom Independence Party. But you find that each European country has got gone further to the right. And the really far right, some of them really far right, like, you know, saluting is Nazi things is fine with us type far right, proper far right. So far right that, like, they haven't got a left leg because they're leaning over to the right. They've been shot. And they are now on the floor on the right side. They're on the right. You see what I mean? So these guys are... oh, yes, whilst I appreciate there's a little bit of a backlash, sometimes you have to think, well, hang on, it's a globalised world, you can't stop immigration, it's a global problem, you have to sort of look out for each other. And yes, of course, if you are contributing to a pot, much like an insurance scheme in a car, now you might feel a bit ripped off if you don't crash your car, but actually, if it comes to it and the United Kingdom needs access to that pot of money and needs some of the benefits of the European Union, then that's a groovy thing. So, I understand where they stand, and I understand where the further left stand, and I don't live there, so it doesn't really matter because I don't have to vote there. However, every now and then, UKIP do something and you think, what? Was that a good idea? And they did it this week. So what they decided to do was release a song. Now, Nigel Farage, who runs UKIP, he's the man at the top, who is a real blokey bloke, yeah? Blah, blah, blah. He's the sort of guy that makes these noises, you know? You remember last time in the pub and there was a guy that was a bit too drunk and a bit too old to be that drunk and smoking a lot outside and saying things like, bloody immigrants, we need to stop the flow, bloody immigrants. That's kind of him, yeah. And he is pretty far right. And he said this week.
He performed it after dinner. We all roared with laughter. He said, hey, how about we release this, have a bit of fun with it.
Did you authorise it, Mr Farage?
I certainly didn't veto it. And I said, fine, Mike, if you want to do that, that's fine. There'd be no problem at all. And so he released it on Monday, and I put it on my Twitter, and if people wanted to download it and pay for it, and then the profits would go to charity. I mean, you know, no problem with any of that. And I think Mike is, and I spoke to Mike the day before yesterday, had he done this in any other context than UKIP, there wouldn't be a row at all. But because it's UKIP, people want to scream blue murder. And I tell you,
so what is it that he's done, and who is this guy? So this is Mike Reed, who is a former Radio 1 DJ. Radio 1 is a bit like CBC 1 and 2 here in the sense, you know, sort of government-sponsored, and it was always, certainly in its heyday, when people used to listen to the radio to find out about music, it used to be extremely popular with the young, groovy kids. So this guy decided it would be a good idea to show his support for UKIP by writing a song. And we should hear that song. Well, it was being defended there by the leader of UKIP, Nigel Farage. What could possibly have offended people?
Taxpayers' money, where does it go? Not even George Osborne knows. When we're in power and we engage, there'd be no tax on the minimum wage. Leaders committed a cardinal sin. Open the borders, let them all come in. Illegal immigrants in every town. Stand up and be counted, Blair and Brown. Oh yes, when we take charge and the new Prime Minister is Farage, we can trade with the world again. But Nigel is at number 10. The British people have been let down. That's why UKIP is making ground. From Crewe to Cleethorpes, Hull to Hendon, they don't believe Cameron's referendum. A coalition could be a fact. With any party we can make a pact. Stop telling lies about us, do, and we'll stop telling the truth about you. Oh yes.
Yeah, I think the tragedy in this song is that it's not funny. That's where you go wrong. When you do a novelty song, a funny novelty song, what you want to do really is make it funny. Because it's clearly not musically very talented. So the former DJ turned songwriter was forced into doing not so much of a U-turn as a U-bend this week after his satirical song UKIP Calypso was branded racist and distasteful by public and press alike, and he was asked to withdraw it. He said, "I withdraw it, of course," and has released a full apology for doing so. Now, having listened to his efforts, it strikes me as a real crime that Mr. Reed's deathless ditty is not either really racist or distasteful as much as uncrushingly painfully unfunny. But why was it a terrible idea? Well, I think the problem is that it was performed in a mock, very bad, Caribbean accent. And that that's it wouldn't be bad if it wasn't for the fact that the message is we warn of illegal immigrants in every town, and then goes on to encourage stopping all immigration. I think when you do that in a Caribbean accent as a white man, you might be sending a weird mixed message, yeah? Also, what is this thing? It really annoys me about immigration, particularly in the UK. They always go, we've got to stop the immigrants. Stop them. Can't have any more immigrants. We're full up. Yeah, you're right. We should stop the immigrants. We should have stopped them at the Romans, or the Angles, or the Saxons, or the Jewets, or the Scots, or the Irish, or the medieval tribal peoples, or the Frankish, or the Druids, or the Vikings, or the Normans, or the Romani, or the Huguenots. But that's my point. It's a land built on immigration. It's okay. Some of us are leaving anyway, so, you know, bring some in, some pop off. Just move it about the world a bit. Mix it all up, that's what I say.
You're tuned in to The Vinnie White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
I don't think there was enough adverts there. I think what we need is just one more advert. Something perhaps like this. Do you need a canvas print for Christmas? Then why not use MrPhotoCanvas.com? MrPhotoCanvas.com blows up your photos and put them on canvas. Puts them on canvas. I never get it quite right. One more. If you really want one. Do you need Adobe training? Then why not go to AdobeTrainingToronto.com? Training on Adobe software provided. My businesses, might as well plug them while you can. That's what I say. Shameless! Right. Neil Diamond has revealed why he wrote the song Sweet Caroline. It has been bothering me since, 1969, I think, when he wrote it. For years, it's been a mystery. There was rumours that he wrote Sweet Caroline as an ode to the then young daughter of the late President, John F. Kennedy, and his wife, Jacqueline. But, no! On Monday, decades on from its original writing in 1969, I can tell you now that he released why and who it was for. Sweet Caroline. On Monday, the singer revealed the truth behind the hit. He said, I was writing a song in Memphis, Tennessee, for a session. I needed a three-syllable name. The song was about my wife at the time. Her name was Marsha. But I couldn't get Marsha to rhyme. Simple man. Just time to tell you this week that apparently the sex trade is drying up. Terrible choice of words. The result of the rise of online dating websites has actually had a detrimental effect on the illegal sex trade across the world. This is a study out of New Zealand in particular, where a sex trade worker in New Zealand, who wished not to be named, let's call her Beverly, even though her name's Sue, said in the last 15 years, it feels like maybe a number of commercial sex encounters are in competition with our business. Websites where you can easily find sex are having a massive effect detrimentally on our business. Casual sex worker Eva, not her real name, her real name's Tracy, she said, I make enough money in my other job to live, but this job helps me buy dinner. Wow. You are going to hope that is a good dinner if that's how you pay for it. You don't want burnt potatoes. That is going to end in tears. Tinder on, lovers. Cheers.